Well, good evening. Good to see each one of you here tonight. Let's stand together, please. Turn to page number 52 in your hymn book. Page number 52, The Lily of the Valley. And we'll sing all three verses to begin our service tonight. Page number 52.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. All my grief has taken, and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me, and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and to his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Amen. Preacher. Amen. Well, it's good to be back in God's house. Amen. And sure glad you're here tonight. Good to have those tuning in live stream as well. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. This is our oasis in the desert. Amen. And so thankful to see you here tonight. Good to see Miss Kristen here tonight. And glad she's sure feeling better. Out of the hospital, that's always a good thing. Amen. And so what a blessing. Brother Rich Raymer, would you open us in a word of prayer tonight, brother? Amen. You may be seated tonight. I do just have some announcements here very, very quickly. Did want to mention a few things. Of course, this coming Friday and Saturday, we do have a couple of things going on. And so make sure you're aware of that. If you do have teens in the youth department, of course, they're over in the fellowship hall right now in their class. But did want to mention that there is a teen activity this coming Friday night. I think it's life-size board games. And so I know that they are looking forward to having a good time in that. And so make sure, Mom and Dad, you're aware of that and what's going on there. And then wanted to mention this coming Saturday be our church-wide outreach. And so that'll be at 10:30 in the morning. We'll be meeting over in the fellowship hall, going out doing some visiting and certainly some canvassing and things like that. And then ladies, if those ladies that signed up for the ladies retreat at Riverside Baptist Church up in St. Joseph, Missouri, don't forget about that. That's April the 16th and 17th, which is a Friday and Saturday. And I believe you're going to be meeting here at noon on Friday and heading out for that. And so make sure that you are aware of that also. And then all and then, of course, the major thing that is coming up in the month of April is our annual missions conference. And so looking forward to hosting that. That's going to be when that'll start Wednesday night here in just a couple of weeks, April the 21st. And then it will end on Sunday, April the 25th. And so did want to just remind you again tonight about that. Do be much in prayer for the Landy family, Brother John Landy and his family going to Sri Lanka. And then also Brother Robert Kitchen and his family going to the country of Germany. And then we'll be hosting Pastor Jeff Abels from Berean Baptist Church. He'll be preaching Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. Each night at 7 o'clock, be having our services. Now, be here for each of those nights. We're going to hear testimonies from the missionaries and their DVD presentations and all of that. And then, of course, that Saturday, there'll be a men's prayer breakfast at 9 o'clock at the Golden Corral on Black Bob Road. And then a ladies' tea that afternoon at 2 o'clock. And again, those are the things going on Saturday. And then, of course, Sunday be our Faith Promise Sunday. And so did want to mention this again tonight. I mentioned this Sunday night, but our Faith Promise cards are now out. They're there on the table here in the sanctuary. And so if you'd like to pick one of those up, you can certainly be praying about our Faith Promise missions and what you'd like to give throughout the year. And of course, we'll be kind of preaching and teaching on some of those things as well as we get closer to the missions conference. And so if you don't know what that is, be a part of the services, and we'll certainly go through those things and explain those things. And so looking forward to that. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm excited about our missions conference. Amen. And looking forward to what God has for us. Then wanted to mention this, our Faith Baptist Christian School, our Faith Baptist School graduation and awards banquet will be Thursday, April the 29th. And so that'll be the week following the missions conference, and we'll have our graduation banquet that Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Got two students graduating. One of those is our kid, amen, and one of those is your kid. So, amen, that's two out, right, and get rid of it. Amen, glory, hallelujah. And then, of course, just wanted to mention those things. And, that Friday, April the 30th, be the LTR last day of school. So those are the things coming up in the month of April, but looking forward to a good month, especially with our missions conference, amen. Okay, let's go ahead tonight, and if you have your prayer list, and let's take those out. Tonight do have some updates and things for you. I did want to mention tonight, it's good to see Miss Carolyn Moore here Sunday, and it was a real blessing to see her and Brother Michael, and do pray, continue to pray for them, and continue to pray for Miss Carolyn Moore. She's just really been having a lot of bad days with that Parkinson's and been falling a lot, and so it was good to see her having a good day and being able to be in church. And so let's pray she'll have a lot more good days, amen, and be able to be here for that. Did also want to mention tonight, under our shut-ins, if you would pray for Miss Doris Clark. And, of course, Brother Gary Clark is not here tonight, as always in his spot. But Miss Doris Clark had to go into the hospital. Took her to the emergency room last night with some stomach issues, and they did have to admit her. And so she is in the hospital. They're running some tests and things like that, and awaiting the results. I did talk with him this afternoon, and she's just kind of hanging in there and stable. And so do pray for them. I know they would appreciate that. And then also wanted to mention this. Of course, continue to pray for little Gabriel Henson that we've been praying for. That's the Henson family that's been visiting with us for quite some time, and just a real sweet family. And so pray for their little boy. He was born and then really had some struggles there with breathing and things like that. And so he is in Children's Mercy over in the Kansas City, Missouri side there in NICU. And so pray for him. Of course, he's out now, I believe, of NICU and off the breathing. But do pray for the tests that they have coming up this week. Just they're going to be checking his brain, his heart, and his lungs to make sure there's no permanent damage. And it'd be a real blessing to get a good report back on all that. Amen. And so remember them in prayer. And then also wanted to mention this tonight, if we could pray for the Kathy Chadwick family. That's Miss Shelby Dawson's grandma that went home to be with the Lord this past week. And so they are going to be having the visitation Friday night from 5 to 7 there at Pinwell Gable. And then a graveside service Saturday morning at Oaklawn. And so I know the family would appreciate prayers for them. And so quite a few prayer requests and a lot of burdens and things. I think about the McRae family with their house selling, and then they got an offer in on the house as well, and so and got a contract. Glory, hallelujah. And so pray for that situation. Then also the Whitney family with the job situation and the house and selling and all of that. And so remember those two families in prayer. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request or an update or anything like that that's on our prayer list? Brother Matt? Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else tonight? Brother Gary? All right. Okay, so praise the Lord for that. So that is Trevor Jones. It's on the second column there, second name down under health. A young man that just had a tragic accident and is paralyzed. And so pray for him. Tell you, we need I hear Jalen back there in the nursery sounding off. And she's just reminding me that I need to put her mom on the prayer list, Lizzie, for with child. And so I'm going to have another staff kid to be running around here screaming in the nursery. Amen. So there's more than one way to grow a church. Amen. And so let's make sure we get Miss Lizzie Parker on there and pray for her and new little Parker baby coming along. So absolutely. Anybody else tonight? Brother Steve Parker? Okay. Okay. Well, good. All right. Glad to hear that. That's a blessing. All right. I saw another hand. All right. Miss Kristen? Okay. Okay. So let's pray for Brother Will. He's got some tests and things, some more work, blood work and things tomorrow. And so let's pray for that. I wanted to ask you, too, how is Nick Perez still in ICU? Okay. And I meant to update, or I meant to put that on our prayer list, too. Okay. Right. You've been a little out of pocket. We'll give you that one. So, all right. So let's pray for Nick Perez, too, that's on our prayer list under the unsaved, uncertain. And so pray for him as well. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request or an update or anything like that? Brother Gary? Okay. All right. So let's pray for Miss Angel for a job situation. And by the way, good to see Miss Marie Christian back there and doing well, too. And so I know she's had a little bit of a battle this past week as well. So thankful for that. So, all right. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request or anything like that? All right. Let's go ahead and have our men come tonight. And well, again, that's why we have this. And so we can make these things a matter of prayer throughout the week. And we've sure seen our Lord be faithful. Amen. And just a real blessing. And so let's pray for these things tonight. Brother Will, why don't you pray for us tonight, brother?
like to read the latest update letter from the Ted Alexander family. Of course, I mentioned them last week, our missionaries there in Homestead, Florida. Real quick, though, before that, I do want to mention the Thomases, Sam and Blessie Thomas. Of course, our missionaries to India have been there. Well, he grew up there. But there's a lot of unrest and violence, and they've got some guys over in Myanmar, just across the border from them, and there's lots of political unrest with military coups and stuff like that going on, and they're not able to get a hold of some people and things like that. So a lot of, especially in India right now with the religious, they wouldn't call it, the government wouldn't call it persecution, but that's what it is. Limiting of religious activities and things like that. Just be in prayer for the Thomases right now. Their whole ministry is going through a very difficult time with all that. Brother Alexander writes, "Greetings from our townhouse in Homestead, Florida. We moved in by the grace of God on March 1st. Pastor Mike Petrick and his family kindly drove down with us on the heels of their missions conference and helped us unload the U-Haul. They also helped us hang ceiling fans and do some other odd jobs. The first few weeks of being here were made much easier by the kind hand of some more friends. Pastor Jason Byler and his wife and son drove down from North Carolina for 5 days and did innumerable jobs in our home. The list kept growing longer and longer, but Brother Byler and his family rose to each new task. Thanks to him, my pulpit is now the correct height and the new platform is working great. Thankfully, we are now meeting in a seemingly stable meeting place at the Moose Building. Our first service was in our home with just my family. On Saturday night, March 6th, we found out that we could rent the space. Our first service there was hastily carried out on Sunday, March 7th. We're now holding Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Thursday evening services. We reported in our last letter that we were at approximately 89% of our needed support. The Lord has increased our support to 100%. We cannot express how thankful we are to the Lord and to the kind people of God that help us carry out our mission. This should be our final support update. We began our efforts by spending much time in prayer. We then printed out a massive updated map of some of our region. Homes are popping up so quickly in this area that Google Maps is the best way to stay abreast of the housing situation. About 2.5 weeks ago, we began to saturate the area with invitations and tracts. As of today, we visited 3,996 homes and passed out an additional 600 pieces of literature. And in case you were wondering, yes, it is hot down here. We've been out in 90-degree-plus weather with high humidity more than once. The sun is so direct and draining that the maximum amount of time we've been able to spend going house to house has only been about 5.5 hours in a day's time. Please pray for us as we adjust to the heat and humidity. Pastor Aaron Rogerson and his son Daniel flew down for 5 days and helped us saturate the area. He also spent a day building us an awesome bookcase. God is good. We're soon going to transition to a mixed approach of soul winning and saturation in our evangelism plan. We still desire to reach the gated communities with literature. However, we are awaiting a decision by our landlord as to whether we can agree on a short-term contract. We should have an answer soon. Praise God, we had our first two visitors from the community last Sunday morning. It's exciting, but there are so many more that need the Lord in this area. We're asking you all to pray for us that we would see new faces, and we are currently working on several. P.S. If you're ever coming to Florida on vacation, stop by and be in our services. Several already have. Those that have visited do not realize what a true encouragement they have been. We love you all and appreciate your prayers and financial support." So, a wonderful update there. Of course, we talked about them a little bit last week with their Easter services coming up. So, be in prayer for them and pray that they would have continue to see fruit and souls reached and saved down there in Florida. pardon me. I'm blanking. I am completely blanking right now. Brother Raymer, would you please pray for the Brother Alexander as well as our other missionaries?
Amen. Let's stand together one last time tonight. I'm thankful for the Word of God that is the Word of Life. Amen. Page number 222, Wonderful Words of Life. We'll sing all three verses together tonight. Page 222.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, listen to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all. Wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words.
Amen. Remain standing and get your words of life ready for the message tonight. Amen.
Right. Amen. Well, it is the word of life. Amen. And it is the word of life for salvation. I believe this. It's the word of life for a church, too. Amen. If you want to know how a church should do things and why it should be doing the things that it's doing, well, go to the word of God. Amen. And no doubt you and I are in the book of Acts, and I mean, we're getting ready to go into a missions conference. And so if you wonder why we have a missions conference, why it is that we have a missionary update, why it is we're concerned about a church being planted in Homestead, Florida, or churches being planted in India or Sri Lanka, well, it's in the book of Acts. Amen. We understand this. Christ started His church, and then from the church at Jerusalem, the church in Antioch was started, and then the Holy Ghost said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I called them." They went out on the first missionary journey and started the churches in Galatiae, which is why we have the book of Galatians. It's written to the churches in Galatiae. And in Acts chapter 16, where you and I pick up tonight, well, now we're going to see another church is going to be started in the second missionary journey of Paul, and now Paul and Silas. And so Acts chapter number 16 tonight, and we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We know this, that Paul and Silas, well, the team's grown because they've added Timothy. And then in verse number 10, where we're going to pick up with tonight, well, Paul and Silas and Timothy added Luke to the team. Because it says, "And after he had seen the vision," talking about the Macedonian call, it says, "immediately we endeavored." All right. So now the writer of the book of Acts, Luke, is now on the journey too. What a blessing. Dr. Luke. You need somebody. If you're going to be stoned, you need a doctor on hand. All right. Paul was just that kind of, he was one of those preachers that got rocks thrown at him all the time. Amen. I like it. So it says, "After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi." all right, Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. All right? Do you know what that means? That means this. She got saved. The Lord opened her heart. I'm telling you, that's the... Listen, if you're going to be saved, God has to do a work in you. And that's exactly what happened. And here's what happens after she got saved. In verse 15, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And I'm telling you what's going to happen is this, is that a church in Philippi is going to be started. And praise God. Listen, because you and I get to have the book of Philippians, which is a tremendous book, an epistle. You're talking about a book of joy. Amen. And what a blessing. But here's what you and I are going to see tonight. Now, when you say like the Macedonian call, you understand tonight that Paul and Silas would sail across the Aegean Sea, Timothy as well, and Luke, and they would sail across the Aegean Sea and they would go into the region of Philippi. Now, you understand tonight that the gospel is now going to go into what we would call the West, Europe. I'm just saying to you tonight that whether you realize it or not, we are beneficiaries of Paul answering this call. But not only that, but certainly tonight it would begin with a woman named Lydia in our text. And so here's what I titled the message tonight. It's just very simply this, the testimony of Lydia. And that's what we're going to look at. Now, from Paul's perspective, we'd say this. This is the fruit of answering God's call on your life. But from Lydia's perspective, we would say this tonight. Just as she had a testimony of salvation, you and I need to have a testimony of salvation. And you say, preacher, this is the Wednesday night crowd. Listen, I don't care. I've seen people get saved on Wednesday night. Here's what I know, and this is what I like. April the 7th, 1996 is when I called upon the name of the Lord. So 25 years later, I get to preach about Lydia calling upon the name of the Lord. Amen. So see, I'm just 25 years old in the Lord today. Amen. A lot older than that in the world, but praise God. I like this. I've been saved longer than I have, you know, I've lived the saved life longer than I've lived the lost life. And I can tell you this, it's good to be saved tonight. It's good to be saved. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. And Lord, just what a simple message to look at a dear, precious lady that called upon you and was saved. And I just pray tonight you'd use the testimony of Lydia tonight to maybe encourage your people tonight. Lord, what a blessing to know that we are saved exactly the same way those in the Bible are saved. And just so thankful for the Word of God tonight. And Lord, I do pray. I don't know the hearts of the people that are here, but you do. And I do pray that everyone in this room tonight would be able to go back in their mind's eye. They may not know the exact date or the time or the hour. But God, I pray that every one of us tonight can go back into our mind's eye and we can reflect on the day in which we called upon the name of the Lord. We know that you spoke to us, you convicted us, you drew us in our need to be saved, you dealt with our heart and we called upon you. And I pray, Lord, that everyone in here tonight be able to do that. But if not, God, let tonight be that night. God, let tonight, Lord, you speak to their heart. You open their heart. You draw them in their need to be saved. And may tonight be the night that they call upon you. And then years down the road, even as I can tonight, 25 years down the road, I can look back in my life in that room, in that little house there in the panhandle of Florida where I called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. What a blessing tonight. And I just pray, God, that tonight you'd speak to hearts, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. When I became the pastor of Bible Baptist Church there in Cassville, Missouri, One of the men that served as a deacon there in the church, his name was Brother Tim Gummert. He's a big, tall guy, and him and his wife were just faithful people that love the Lord. Really appreciated Brother Tim's faithfulness through everything and just a real blessing. Well, his dad had passed away a few years earlier, and his mom was still alive. Miss Carol Gummert, she was a dear widow lady who would come to church from time to time. She would enjoy the services when she came, but she really didn't want to come most of the time. She struggled spiritually. And let me explain why that was. Before I came there to be the pastor, there was a man that was in the church that was caught up in a false doctrine called easy believism. Now, some of you are familiar with that. If you don't know what that is, it's basically this, where you treat the gospel kind of like a salesman, and you push people into repeating a prayer, oftentimes called the sinner's prayer. And really, they push people into saying that just so that they can put a spiritual notch in their gospel belt, so to speak. And the problem with that is this, is that it does not require God opening up their heart, like Lydia just experienced in our text. That makes sense? It's an ungodly way to handle the gospel message. And here's why. Because much of the time it makes someone a twofold child of the devil, and that's what Christ called it. And here's why. That's what it means is this, is that they now think they are okay with God because they've repeated some words that somebody told them to say. But in reality, they're still lost and they don't know Christ as their Savior. And so they're still a twofold child of the devil. Well, the reason I'm telling you all of this tonight is because this is why Miss Carol Gummert, Brother Tim's mom, struggled spiritually in her life. See, right around the death of her husband, this man went over there and led her into repeating some prayer. And so now she thought, well, I guess I'm okay with God. But yet there was no spiritual change within her life. And so that's why she didn't want to come to church. And that's why she didn't desire spiritual things, and that's why she was struggling spiritually when I became the pastor. And so after a couple of years or so, I started a discipleship class on Sunday night, right before the Sunday evening service, and I would take people through what's called the ABCs of Christian growth. If you don't know what that is, well, you're going to find out, because I believe after we get through with the book of Acts, I'm going to start going through this in a Wednesday night service. And so it's just a real simple doctrinal study book. And every letter in the alphabet has a doctrine that you study. Like, for instance, A is assurance of salvation. Good subject to study. It's good to know that you don't have to sit here tonight and wonder whether or not you're saved. We can know that we have Christ. Amen. And we can know that we are saved. And so, anyways, we started going through this booklet, and Miss Carol Gummert signed up for the class. And so her daughter-in-law would bring her and son every Sunday night, and we were going through the alphabet. We got all the way to the letter W, which is witnessing. And Miss Carol comes in that night, and she's sitting in the class, and I'm going through the lesson, and it encourages you to basically give your testimony of when God worked in your life and you were born again and became a child of the King. And I'm just telling you, the moment that she came in the door, you could tell that things were not right. She was struggling. She couldn't even finish the lesson. She was under so much conviction. And you understand why that was? It's because she really didn't have a testimony of God working in her life. And so she was wrestling with these things. And so finally, towards the end of the class, she looked at me and she just began to explain to me how she was struggling, and she just wasn't sure about things, and what I'm going through here, that's not what I did, and, and all of these things. Now, let me just help you with something. Normally, when stuff like that begins to, information like that begins to exchange, I would stop and I would immediately deal with it. But it just so happened, you know. Well, come on, there's no such thing as luck in the Bible. Everybody getting this? And so I was preaching through the book of Acts in our Sunday night services. And we were in the last part of the book of Acts where Paul, the apostle Paul, is brought before the Jews and he's going to give his testimony of salvation. And here, now I know this is the title of my message and I know this in the back of my mind. Here's the title of the message that night. Do you have a testimony? And so, knowing this, I looked at Miss Carol Gummert and I said, Miss Gummert, here's what I want you to do. Before we go any further with this, I just want you to encourage you tonight to sit in the pew and I want you to listen to the message tonight. And if God deals with you, then I want to invite you to come forward and walk the aisle and we'll get some things straightened out. And she said, okay. And so I preached the message that night and we gave the invitation and Miss Carol Gummert stepped out of the pew and walked the aisle. And I had one of our faithful ladies come to her and deal with her. And so they went back in the back. And after about 20 or 30 minutes after the service, they came out and Miss Carol Gummert called upon the name of the Lord and got saved. Now, here's what happened, and this was what was amazing. That one of the ladies, the lady that dealt with her, she came to me and she said, Preacher, this is what happened. She said, I asked Miss Carol to give me her testimony, and she said, you know, she repeated this prayer, but she's struggling. And she kept saying this. She kept saying, it's not about the prayer that you said. It's about Christ and trusting Him. It's not about the words that you said. It's about Christ and trusting Him. And she said, I just kept repeating that over and over again. And she said, and all of a sudden you saw the light come on. And she began to realize that what she had done, that she was trying to find hope in the words that she said, rather than finding hope in the one that she was supposed to have been praying to. And that's when she finally bowed her head and called on the Lord and got saved. And it was awesome. And I got to baptize one of our deacons' mom who was 78 years old. And it was just, I'm telling you, it was just precious. We rejoiced in the Lord. By the way, I got to preach her funeral too. And I'm just telling you, she's enjoying heaven right now. And here's why. Because she's got a testimony in Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen tonight. And that, listen, what now, here's why I'm telling you all that tonight. It's because just like Miss Carol Gummert needed a testimony of salvation, every one of us tonight need a testimony of salvation. And you understand that, and even we see that tonight from our example in Lydia, and I'm just telling you tonight that the people in the Bible didn't get saved some spectacular different way that we get saved today. No, my friend, it's the very same way. And I believe we can see that tonight from her life. And so let me give you some things tonight regarding her testimony. Certainly the first thing that we would begin to see is her background. Notice in verse number 14, it says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. And so here we're introduced to her and we can begin to already see some things about her background. Now, let me just point out some things to you. Certainly one of those would be this, that I believe this, she was most likely rich. All right? And here's why. If you go back up to verse number 12, and let me just show this to you. It says, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And so here in verse number 12, it tells us that Paul and Silas and Timothy and now Luke, they've come into the city of Philippi. Now, you got to understand, Philippi is not a capital city in the region of Macedonia, but it is a chief city. And so it was a very large city. Be a fact, it goes on to say this, that it was a colony, meaning this, it was a Roman colony within the Roman Empire. And since one of the primary colors used in Roman fabrics was purple, we can begin to see why Lydia was here. She was from Thyatira, which was a city back in Asia Minor. That's back on the other side of the Aegean Sea in modern day Turkey. But you understand, the city of Thyatira majored in creating the purple dye that was extracted from shellfish. And so she was here, had sailed across and was in the colony, the city here of Philippi, selling this purple as a businesswoman. Okay? Now, when I say businesswoman, let's keep in mind here, let's stay in bounds with the Scripture. All right? Because here's what I'm saying tonight. I don't think that Lydia was like the career-minded women of our day and time that usurped the authority of their husbands and sacrificed their children for the almighty dollar. I don't get that picture when I see Lydia. Is everybody getting this? But I will say this, the Bible does talk about ladies working. Oh, come on. You talk about women working and providing for their home. Go and read Proverbs 31 and the virtuous woman. I mean, there's a lady that worked and there's a lady that provided and helped. She could consider a field and buy it. She could plant a vineyard and make a profit on it. I'm just listening. You understand that was a working woman that kept things in balance with her home and her husband and her children. And I believe this, that's what I perceive Lydia to be. No doubt. And though it mentions her household there in verse 15, it does not mention a husband. Some think that Lydia perhaps was a widow woman. But what makes us think that she and her family were most likely well off is that at the end of verse 15, she desires and constrains Paul and his team of men there to abide in her house. Now, I'm just saying to you, she had a house in Philippi. You understand that owning a home in those days is not as common as owning a home in our day. I mean, you understand. So this, this lady was most likely very well off and rich. But listen, here's what I want to get to tonight. When I study the testimony of Lydia, I am reminded of the conversation that took place between Jesus and the disciples after the rich young ruler walked away from Christ because he had to give up his riches. Go with me to Matthew chapter 19 just very quickly. Hold your place there in Acts chapter 16. I want to read this passage to you tonight and just point out something here about being rich. In Matthew chapter 19, look at verse number 23. Now, again, keep in mind the rich young ruler just walked away not receiving Christ. It says in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 19, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now you understand the visualization he's trying to give there. A big camel and the little teeny tiny eye of a needle. Don't try to over-spiritualize this. And while he was talking about a secret passage in Jerusalem, no, that's not what he's talking about. A literal camel and a literal eye of a needle. And he's saying it is easier for that camel to go through that eye of the needle than for a rich man to be saved. Which is why the disciples say in the very next verse, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed. They, who then can be saved? Because no camel's going to go through the eye of a needle. And so, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You understand Lydia tonight? Lydia and her testimony is one that encourages me, because though she was a successful businesswoman, she would still be saved. She reminds me tonight, maybe it would remind you tonight, for us to keep praying and to keep witnessing to those around us, because with God, all things are possible. You understand? I don't know if you realize this or not tonight, but I'm just telling you, we live in America and we are surrounded by the rich. You understand tonight? We even us that are sitting here tonight, may not perceive ourselves to be rich. And here's why. Because we compare ourselves with other Americans. But when you step back and you look at the world in its entirety, I'm going to tell you something, friend. You get a different vision. You get a different view. Just like that missionary letter tonight from India. I'm going to tell you something. We ought to praise God tonight. We got a building that we can meet in safely. And we've got padded pews and air conditioning and heating and all of that, you know, because fake spring comes around twice a year. But I'm just saying to you, we ought to be thankful for that. But back to the point of riches, when you look at the world in its entirety, I'm telling you tonight, we're rich. We're very well off. I read a statistic one time that said if you made between $15,000 and $20,000 a year, you were in the top 15% of the world. Now, that was a few years back, and since then, if you work at McDonald's, you get $15 an hour now. Don't get me started on politics. But you understand, here's the thing. Most people don't make that kind of money in other countries. And some would sit here tonight and go, well, yeah, but they don't pay $3 a gallon for gas. Yeah, they pay more like $15 a gallon for gas, you big crybaby. I'm just telling you, we are very, 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 very spoiled and very rich. And riches distract men from dealing with their own soul. And riches cause men to be prideful and think, I don't need God. Which is why a lot of God's people today don't pray and walk with God like they don't need to. Because we do need God. Is everybody getting this tonight? I'm going to tell you something, friend. We do need God. When you part from this life and into the next, you're going to find out that you need God. No matter how much money you got in this life, you're going to need God, friend. And you do need to prepare for your soul, because as it is appointed unto men, once to die, and then after this, the judgment. I'm just saying to you tonight that men do need to be saved, and we do need God. And if God can open up the heart of a wealthy businesswoman like Lydia and save her, then God can still do a work in the hearts of men in our day and time. And so we need to witness, and we need to keep praying, and we need to keep asking God to move. She reminds me tonight, I was thinking of our church planter over in Leawood, Kansas, Brother Keith Drinker. Now, if you know anything about Leawood, Kansas, it's a pretty wealthy area of Kansas, isn't it? The Kansas City Metro. Man, they got like all the nice places to shop and eat. Amen. Even their Joe's KC barbecue over there is pretty fancy. But I'm going to tell you something. If Lydia can be saved, people in Leawood, Kansas can be saved. Is anybody getting this tonight? I'm just saying to you, listen, but here's the other thing. She wasn't just a rich woman. I believe this. She was also a religious woman. I mean, look at what it says in verse number 14. It says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, notice this, which worshiped God. See, this is why they were down by the river on the Sabbath day there in verse number 13. Because according to Jewish tradition, if there were not enough people to support the building of a synagogue, then God's people would typically meet together on the Sabbath like this, and they would worship Jehovah God. Now, Lydia, being from Thyatira, a Gentile city, was most likely a Gentile proselyte who had been converted to Judaism, and she was there with some of the other women to worship Jehovah God. And in verse 13, it talks about prayer was going to be made unto God. This was a, no, watch this. This was a religious woman, but a lost woman. Anybody catching that? See, the truth of the matter is God can not only save the rich, but He can save the religious too. I mean, we got religious people in our day and time. We've got people that are trusting in their good works. That's exactly what Judaism is. That's what she had been converted to. The presence of the river. No doubt, they may have been doing their ceremonial cleansings and things like that. Listen, it reminds us, though, of those that trust in their baptisms. Their sprinklings and their pourings and confirmations and christenings and babies and adults and whatever the case may be. But I'm just telling you tonight, those things do not save a person. It's when God opens their heart and does a work in the inner man. That is when a person is saved. It is repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how a person is born again. And by the way, listen, not just one that trusts in their good works, but, you know, some trust in their words. Well, just gave a testimony a moment ago of Miss Carol Gummert. Every time she'd get under conviction about her need to truly be born again, she'd go back to the words that she repeated, friend. But there are no magic words that get you and I into heaven tonight. There's no magic words that we say, well, if I just say it like this and do this and say this and do this. No, 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 my friend. It has nothing to do with the words that we say. It's who we're speaking to. That is who saves us tonight. That's who saves us tonight. I'm telling you, listen to me. I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt their salvation, but I will say this. I'm telling you, we do need to make sure that we are truly born again. And not some of the nonsense that goes on today. I've heard guys say things like this. You talk about a religious person here. And I've heard guys in ministry talk about dealing with those with a religious background. And they say, listen, you don't want people like that. Then you got to reprogram them. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, the truth is probably most everybody that comes into our door has a religious background of some type. I mean, we live in America. There's a church on every corner. Doesn't mean they're right. But there is a church on every corner. And I mean, listen, people that grown up have probably gone to church. And if it wasn't mom and dad, maybe a bus came by and picked them up, just like our buses that ran tonight or something of that nature. And people, don't get me wrong, I realize there are people that have never been to church, maybe even in America that haven't heard of the name of Jesus Christ. But generally speaking, most people have. And what I'm saying to you tonight is this. Everybody has some type of religious background, and everybody needs to be reprogrammed. Our minds need to be shaped according to the Word of God. And Lydia encourages us tonight. The background of Lydia is one that's very similar to the background of many. But at the same time, couldn't we also say this? These things serve as a hindrance to people being truly saved. To hang on to their religion. When did you call upon the name of the Lord? Well, I got baptized when I was about 9 years old. That's not what I asked. When did you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved? Is everybody catching this? No. Listen, you think about riches and, hey, you go to church and I'm good. I work on Sundays and we've got this and we've got a nice boat and we've got a car. We don't need God. We're all right. Well, no. They may not say that, but they're thinking it. Then again, we're living in a day where they just might say it. I'm going to tell you something, friend. We got to come to that place where we realize tonight that we are sinners. And He is the Savior. And then we come to Him by faith, trusting in Him, believing in Him. And that's exactly what happens with Lydia in our text. Look at the next thing here. Look at what happens in verse number 14. Because not only do you see her background, but you begin to see her conversion here. It says this, and a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Now, let me give you some things here. Just two quick things that are very key to her conversion right here. One of those, I believe, is probably the most key in which the Spirit of God certainly would lead Luke to point this out. But if you'll notice, it says that she worshiped God, and then it says this, heard us. Are you watching this? And then it goes on and says this, whose heart the Lord opened, but here's why. That she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Do you understand that's past tense to say that she attended unto the things that were spoken, and then God worked in her heart, she got saved. What I'm trying to say to you tonight is this, is that her heart being opened by the Lord is certainly the converting part. But before that would come this part, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of by the Apostle Paul. Out of all the women that were down there, she, it says, heard us. Do you not understand that the word attended right there? Here's what it means. To pay attention to. To take caution in. To apply to oneself. Because Couldn't we say that's kind of what we're supposed to be doing too? Listen to me tonight. You cannot expect God to speak to your heart and open up your heart when you're not attentive to His Word. I'm going to tell you something. This book will not return back void. He's already promised us that. And the only reason it does is because we're closed off to it oftentimes and unattentive to it. I'm going to tell you something. When we're talking in the services or playing on our phones or getting up and going to the bathroom and all these, and don't get me, I understand situations like that. And I people having to run to the restroom, I get all of that. And I believe the Lord does. But what I'm saying to you is this, is that sometimes people do these types of things, and here's why. Because they're trying to avoid the Word of God. And not only are things like that distractive and disrespectful to the preaching of God's Word, but here's the bigger picture on this stuff. Aren't we here to have God do a work in our heart? No. I realize probably most all of us tonight are saved, and praise God for that. But aren't we here to have God do a work in our heart? Aren't we here to worship God in spirit and in truth? But I'm just saying to you that it's oftentimes that's not what's taking place among God's people. And I believe this, one of the biggest reasons why is because we're not attentive to the things of God. And then we walk out of here and we blame God and we blame the man of God and everybody and everything else under the sun. When I'm just saying to you that, listen, if we want God to speak to us and we want God to deal with us and we want God to... Some of you are looking at Lydia tonight going, man, it's been a while since God's moved in my heart in something like that. And I need that. Well, open up your mind and open up your heart and be attentive to the Word of God. Let God speak. Let God move. I'm going to tell you something. He will. But you got to understand tonight, the ball is not in His court. The ball's in our court. The Word of God still speaks. But could we also say this, that this has to do with personal application as well? I mean, you know, the word attended not only means to pay attention, but it also means to apply to oneself. It's translated in other passages in the Scripture as beware or take heed to. It means this. It means Lydia was not only listening, but she was also recognizing that Paul wasn't talking about anybody else. Paul was talking about her. And more specifically, it wasn't Paul. It was the Word of God. And I'm saying to you that this is key for us as well. Hey, listen, when the Word of God is preached, may we be careful tonight not to brush it off or to pass the buck, so to speak, and to think in our minds, boy, listen, I wish so-and-so was here because they could sure use this tonight. Well, maybe you could too. You know, I'm doing pretty good, preacher, but on the end of the pew down here, it's a bummer if you're like the only one in your pew. But I'm just, no, because here's the thing. Because I know we would never say those things sometimes out loud, but that don't mean we ain't thinking them. And what I'm saying to you tonight is this. Maybe we need to step back and go, hey, listen, is God trying to speak to me tonight? Is this you have to do with me? And apply the Word of God to yourself. But here's the other thing. So not only did she attend to the things that were spoken from the Word of God from the Apostle Paul, but this is what happens. The Lord opened her heart. If we ever want God dealing with our heart, then we must bring ourselves under the authority of His Word as Lydia did. But this phrase also reminds us tonight that salvation and the conversion of the soul, it is not the work of man, it's the work of God. And don't listen to me. And by the way, don't get some kind of Calvinistic foolishness out of this. Listen to me. This is Lydia making a personal decision to pay attention to the Word of God. And then when God spoke, she would respond by humbling herself to the gospel and God doing a work in her heart. The greater thought here is that salvation is a born again experience with our God. It's exactly what Jesus preached to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Except ye be born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of God. And I'm saying to you tonight, Lydia was born again. What a blessing. I'll tell you something. It's when, listen, being born again is when we realize we are sinners, There is Holy Ghost conviction taking place upon our soul as to who we are before God, but also what God has done for us in salvation through Jesus Christ. And we are to respond to this with repentance and faith in Him. Again, it's not about works and it's not about words. It's about faith within the heart and soul of man. Hold your place there in the book of Acts and go with me past there to the book of Romans. And I want you to go to Romans chapter 10. Probably most all of you know where I'm going tonight. I could quote these verses to you, but I just think it's better if you see it. And if you're saved tonight, this is a couple of verses that are good to memorize. But I want you to watch this in Romans chapter 10. Because what Paul is doing, and those may not know this, but the book of Romans, I love, it was used in our law schools back in the day when, you know, people didn't freak out over the Word of God. Because Paul makes one of the greatest, legal cases that salvation is by grace through faith in this book. And this is really the conclusion of the entirety of the doctrine of salvation in the book of Romans. All the way through chapters 1 through 10, he deals with the subject of salvation. And look at what he says in verse number 9. Here's what he says. This is how salvation applies to us tonight. He says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now how simple is that? I mean, could we not say that Paul right there is basically showing us in a very simple format how salvation is accomplished within the heart of man? That he says this, that you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. You tell me tonight, friend, this is why Easter is important. Because He rose from the dead. And you've got to believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection to be saved. But look at verse number 10, because this, if you will, is the schematics, or how, this is how it works. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. God's got to deal with your heart tonight. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Everybody watch this. Watch this. It doesn't start here and go here with repeating some meaningless prayer. It starts here. God dealing with the soul, the inward. That's what the word heart means. Not talking about your physical blood pumping organ. It's talking about inward man. The soul of man. The real you. The you that's going to spend eternity somewhere. And that's based upon your decision about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And His death and His burial, His gospel. And what Paul says is this, in verse 9, this is how a person is saved. It's so simple. But this is how it works in verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth this confession is made unto salvation. Meaning this, that God begins to convict us and God begins to deal with us. And when we respond with repentance and faith and we call upon the name of the Lord, well, it's like it says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Poor and never heard of His name before, or rich and religious, just like Lydia. Or you can be living in Homestead, Florida, and somebody knock on your door from Bayview Baptist Church and Brother Ted Alexander. Or you can be an Indian and grew up in Hinduism. And one of the men of God that trained under Brother Sam Thomas can come and knock on your door and give you the gospel of Jesus Christ and you can be saved. Is anybody getting this tonight? Or you can be in Sri Lanka and hear the Landy family, or in Germany, or in America, in Olathe, Kansas. And some Yahoo crazy man from the panhandle of Florida living up here in the... Doesn't matter. And doesn't matter what your sin is, doesn't matter who you are. That's how a person is to be saved. And listen to this. If that hasn't happened to you, if you've not done this, tonight needs to be the night. And then 10 years down the road, you can still be sitting in here hearing me preach, because once you get saved, you're not allowed to leave. You've got to stay here. And then 10 years from now, you can be sitting here and thinking about this night. I called upon the name of the Lord. And here's what would be cool. We'd share spiritual birthdays. I'd be 25 and you'd be one. Well, 26 and you'd be one next year. Amen. But let me tell you about our fruit. Now, I want you to watch this. Look at what happens here. Look at verse number 15. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. Well, can I say to you tonight that real change in life is always produced by a real change within the heart? And the same applies to spiritual matters, such was the case of Lydia. Hey, listen, she was baptized. She publicly and unashamedly witnessed of her conversion to those down by the river. That's amazing. She was right there by the river, had plenty of water. She proclaimed that she is now following Christ. Baptism is her way of aligning to His doctrine. This is exactly what baptism still represents today. It doesn't save anyone, but it speaks the message of how they were saved, which is His death and His burial and His resurrection. That is exactly why in Scripture and the way we baptize today is to immerse in the water. That symbolizes the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something tonight, and I want you to listen to this. This is how important this is. It always concerns me when you hear things, when you hear, you know, people in ministry say, "Well, we saw 20 get saved, but only 2 followed in baptism." Something's wrong there. That's not the pattern of the Scriptures. When people got saved in the Scriptures, they followed Christ in baptism. Because they got it. They really got it. God done a work in them. Though baptism doesn't save a person, to me tonight, it's the fruit that a person has truly been saved. I've said this before, and I'll say it tonight. I don't take a person's salvation seriously until they're willing to follow Christ in baptism and follow Him in His doctrine. I'm just telling you, because listen, God. And by the way, God's not interested in lip service either. I mean, it should be real. But here's the other thing that I like about her fruit. She won her household to Christ. Look, it says this. It says, And when she was baptized, watch this, and her household. Now again, there's no mention of a husband. Maybe she did have one, we don't know. She obviously had children. It talks about her household. She may have even had more family beyond that living with her since she had a home. May have even had servants and employees working there. But regardless of who was there, the change in Lydia had such a tremendous impact on them that they too received Christ and followed Him in baptism. By the way, don't misinterpret things here, as some have. Some believe that, well, since Lydia got saved, that automatically her household is in and they're okay with God too. That's not what's implied there. This is a very short recording of, a very condensed recording of the testimony of Lydia, so it doesn't go into great detail. But I'm telling you, that's not what this means. In fact, the Philippian jailer, all right, in the very next scenes is going to have a similar testimony. But go to verse 31. So he comes in verse number 30 and asks Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" In verse 31 it says, "And they said, get baptized on the Lord Jesus Christ." That's not what it says. It says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy household." But now watch verse 32. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house." Now why did they go in and not just preach to the Philippian jailer, but they preached to everybody in the house? Well, here's why. Because they had to hear the gospel and make a personal decision themselves. And I'm just telling you, it works the same way with us today. Just because my wife and I are saved tonight doesn't mean our kids are automatically okay with God. As they come to an age of an accountability, meaning they understand they are a sinner and they are sinning before God, they stand accountable to have a personal relationship with God in salvation, just like we have one in salvation. And Lydia here, listen to this. So Lydia reminds us tonight that because she got saved, they got saved. And so it's not enough for us to tell those around us, especially our kids, about the things of God to say something like this: do as I say, not as I do. Because I'm going to tell you something, if you have hypocrisy in the things of God, you will turn your kids away from Jesus Christ. But when you take God seriously and you begin to serve Him and you begin to bring fruit into your life and you put Him first in your home, I'm going to tell you something, you are dramatically increasing the chances of a spouse or your children being saved, and such is the case of Lydia tonight. But here's the third thing. The church at Philippi would be started in her home. Lydia would invite Paul and Silas there in verse number 15. Timothy and Luke. Like a prophet's chamber of the Old Testament. Come on in, I got plenty of room, man of God. But they wouldn't receive the request. Paul was probably a little gun-shy after being stoned. Not too sure about this. Don't know if I want to close my eyes. So she constrained them. And then they came in. And they would, listen, this would be the meeting place for those in Philippi. Go to verse number 40 of Acts chapter 16. And this is after the damsel, getting the demon-possessed damsel. This is after the Philippian jailer and his family and Paul and Silas being released by the Roman guards there. Look at verse number 40. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? I'd venture to say, I mean, listen, can you imagine going back to the house? And there's the jailer and his wife and kids. Maybe they got a few pews set up. I'm just saying, it may not have been, I mean, you know, chairs set out and things, you know, sitting out there. And there's the Philippian jailer and his wife and kids. They've been saved. There's the damsel that was demon-possessed, and now she's been delivered. And there's Lydia and her family sitting over there. And maybe there was a servant in Lydia's house that got saved, and now he's got his family coming to church, and there's some more. Is anybody getting this? In fact, you go to Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 1. And it's just a few years later that the Spirit of God would use Paul to pen down the book of Philippians. And he would say this, and I'll read it in my notes. He would say, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. You know, you remember us, right? We were there. Timotheus. Remember that little snotty kid that was with me? Okay, he was a teenager, but he's not. But then it says this. I want you to listen to this. To all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. What started out in the house of Lydia will be organized into a New Testament, Bible-believing Baptist church. With bishops, that means this, more than one pastor. Now, I think they had a pastor, and I think they had a lot of assistant pastors. I mean, there's pastoral, you look in the book of Acts. I mean, there, you had Peter standing up on the day of Pentecost and preaching, though there were other apostles. Here's why, because Peter was the pastor now. And so you understand, now they got a pastor and they got assistant pastor, and they got deacons in the church fulfilling the offices that God has in His church. Is everybody catching this? Here's why, because there were a whole lot of people there now. What started out with one, just one dear lady getting saved, and opening up her house and saying, you know what, if you found me faithful in the Lord, man, I'd love to have you come and stay at our house with my family and the people that work in my home. And you can use this as a place to meet. And the next thing you know, and there's this lady that was demon-possessed and she's saved. This jailer starts showing up. His family. And more. Isn't that incredible? But it all boils down to God working in the heart of a dear lady. Can I ask you something tonight? Do you have a testimony like that? You know what I found is this, is that circumstances are always different. But salvation still works the same way. It's God doing a work in us and us putting our faith and trust in Him. And sometimes you got to get over riches and you got to get over religion and just trust Him. Let's all stand tonight.